Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 782.
All right, Katie, what's on the corkboard?
I want to plug the Riot LA Festival that is happening next weekend, 29th, 30th, and 31st of January in LA. We have Jonah Radio on it, but there's also going to be a lot of awesome shows as well.
I got a should have plugged for that. Roast Battle Championship Finals.
Oh,
two of my friends, Leah K. Janian and Pat Barker, are going up against each other. They're the top two roast battlers in LA after going through the circuit, and they're both two of the best joke writers I've ever met, and it's going to be an insane final championship.
The whole lineup for that festival is great, and you can find tickets info at riotla.com.
By the way, just because a few people still are asking, what happened? Are you not putting out podcasts anymore? We're just putting out one a week. For now, let's just see what happens. But I do have to say, I feel like I've gotten a piece of my sanity back. Just in terms of like not being so exhausted when I get home and I am useless to my fiance in terms of conversation.
You have stopped quivering and muttering to yourself.
I did. I feel like there's been a marked improvement in the amount of quiver muttering that was happening before. So, you know, thank you if you care enough to be upset by that. I apologize. But, you know,
hey guys, why don't you go listen to a This Is Rad as a fill-in episode? Now you got two things a week.
Or any of the other shows that we have on Nerdist. We have so many new ones.
There's a lot
of
new ones.
Like the Half Hour Happy Hour, the Jackie and Lori Show. We have a Bachelor podcast that's really fun with Arden Marine, Aaron Foley, and Eddie Pepitone.
Jenna Elfman and Bodie Elfman are doing a podcast.
That one's called Kicking and Screaming. The Bachelor one's called Will You Accept This Rose?
And there's a new one that we can't mention yet that's coming out soon that I'm very excited about.
Me too. Ooh. I'm really excited about that one.
A lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff. You should.
You should.
Yeah. This episode is...
It's my new favorite thing in the world.
You should.
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 You no. You should.
You should.
You should.
You should.
You should. this episode, Will Sasso. I'd like to thank Squarespace for not pulling their sponsorship after. We're just saying their tagline.
We are just helping them rebrand.
We just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. You should.
You should love them.
You should.
We
you should.
Love
you
it.
Should. No. You should. Not we. You should, Katie.
You should.
No, you should.
You should.
You should.
You should.
You fucking should.
Oh, can I throw another quick corkboard thing out that I just remembered that I wanted to hit?
Yeah, you should.
George Kowalski. God damn it. George Kowalski is an engineering teacher who, inspired by Nerdist to do a thing, put together a competitive robotics team with his students. And they're
Excellent.
Going to First Stronghold. And they just want Nerdist fans to send happy mojo energy from the universe
their
way.
Can they come to this? Is there any social media or anything?
There's not. They didn't even put their team name. Thanks, George Kowalski. good engineers, often not good at social media and promoting things. But it's going to be at the first robotics competition called First Stronghold. I imagine you can go to search First Stronghold Robotics Competition.
First of all, George, congratulations. That's awesome. Second of all, if you are wondering whether or not you need to include your social media when you send a request to the Nerdist Community Corkboard,
please do.
No!
Oh, you should!
Wait, are you joking or for real right now, Katie? Did you really fuck that up?
I wonder if
please do is the first. Please do. No, it's...
Please do is the lucky rabbit before Mickey Mouse.
Your accidental... Katie,
oh, your face right now is so good.
Your accidental comedy bomb was amazing.
Because I was also thinking, I was like, oh, we should also tell them to put their last names because they fucking never put their last names.
Please do put your last name.
All right. This episode is Will Katie, I love you. This episode is Will Sasso, who's promoting 10-minute podcast and Shameless Sundays at 9 p.m. on Showtime. He's an old buddy of mine, a good dude, and he fucking makes me laugh. And Matt was supposed to be on this episode, and then he couldn't last minute. He had to go away for travel. I had April Richardson sit in. She's been on tour with me. And she was just having a she'd been real bummed the previous couple days because David Bowie had just passed away and so she
pulled up to this episode blasting Moon Age Daydream and I was like, God, I love April Richardson.
she's amazing. And so so she sat on the podcast. No one's being replaced with anybody. She was just here, and so I brought her in. So I don't want you to worry about that, Matt.
It's bonus April.
Enchanted April.
Yeah.
Here's another podcast number 782 with Will Sasso.
You should.
God damn it. Katie, roll the thing. You should. Katie, you should roll the thing.
Well, we're all on it today.
Katie. Katie.
Wait, yeah. What?
Please do.
Please do.
Oh, yeah.
No. I have the power to edit this out.
You won't because you know it's funny.
That was that moment of who needs a quickie mart? Their floors are sticky mart. Let's throw a bricky mart. The quickie mart is dope. That was that moment.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Will Sasso?
Not much, man. How's about you?
Good. What's happening?
Well, you know, this and that.
Well, listen,
yeah, I was in the neighborhood.
Oh, nice. What are you working on right now?
Right now? Shit, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, you know, things that take like 2 or 3 days aren't worth talking about.
No one could see your face, but you actually were like, oh, I'm working on, nothing. No,
yeah,
it was just that.
Yeah,
just
you know. There's things out there, right? There's things out there that are happening right now, currently with me, but I don't watch TV or any of that shit, so I don't really know. I do IMDb myself. I'm not trying to sound like I'm not.
How's your star meter, Will?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I'm right now, currently, not to brag, 28,560.
Whoa! Yeah. Dude, how'd you get up there?
I don't know. I just passed the second cast of Dukes of Hazzard. Not Vance, but Coy.
This is a genuine question, though. How is the star meter determined? How is the rank?
I don't know how the star meter works.
It is when, like, on the week that you have something coming out.
Oh.
It probably...
And it has to be a
big movie.
So
Googling yourself repeatedly will not make it rise. No,
I think IMDb, I'm sure it's some algorithm between how much are people being searched on IMDb versus, like, how much they're appearing in their news feed or something. I honestly don't know.
Oh, okay.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I remember someone trying to verse me on it when it was like, well, this thing is coming out, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And it's like, yeah, because I got this thing. Don't give a fuck about that either. And then, from what I understand, it's you've got something coming out, and people are. It's like the metrics or the meta tagging within IMDb,
right?
So it's how much people are entering your name into IMDb.
Do you remember Hollywood Stock Exchange?
No,
it was a thing.
I vaguely
it happened about
that.
10 or 12 years ago. I think Machinima is in the building now, but it's this really cool building in West Hollywood. And Hollywood Stock Exchange was basically you'd sign up and people would trade celebrities like stocks. So you would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it worked like, you know, it was a fake stock market, but it worked like the stock market. So, you know, there were trends.
It would
and
be like Tom Cruise is up 4 points
yeah, exactly,
this week or
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So you could buy and trade people. Like,
and now we don't need that because casting people just look at Instagram.
Yeah, they just look at Instagram. Right. Yeah, that's all they
do. Is that
just look
true?
That's what all I hear from actor friends of mine are like.
They look to, like, they're like, if you have X amount of followers, we'll
I have
cast
so many
you
friends
thing.
That are like, oh, I lost a role to this guy or this gal because they have more Instagram followers,
no.
or they have more Twitter followers. I mean,
Which
that's
is,
what I hear.
That's pretty shocking also because you can buy followers on any
True, absolutely.
Thing, you know what I mean?
But you got like 2 million followers on Twitter.
No, don't you? I'm not a.
Oh, I thought you had like a big giant following.
You know, ish. I don't know. I'm sitting in front of Chris Hardwick for fuck's sake.
Quit sleeping on the dick pics.
Oh, I'm jerking off now. Oh,
my God. I didn't want to sell you out and say you were jerking off.
Slap it.
Oh, my goodness. He's slapping it. I was just going to say he's rubbing his hands together, but there's something in between them.
The first two rows make it wet.
Splash zone.
Yeah, you're in the splash zone.
What is this character? I don't know. I don't know if I like him.
The guy who jerks off on stage.
Yeah,
that character.
2016 Gallagher.
That's a character. It's a character I'm working on. Don't be weird, you guys. It's a character.
It's a character I'm working on.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool alt prop comic who just jerks off into the launches gigantic.
I have the one prop. It's attached to me. It goes with me everywhere.
I mean, I'll jerk off onto a watermelon or a cantaloupe or whatever. No.
This is art.
Yeah.
Speaking
I smash
dicks,
a watermelon
dicks
with
new
my
mallet.
Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you thought of maybe posting dick pics to your Instagram in order to increase these followers?
You know, I'm proud to admit I've never sent a dick pic ever to anyone privately.
Right.
Never,
I haven't
ever.
Either, actually.
Why would anybody do that? I just kind of feel like if you're sending a dick pic, what is it?
Wait a minute. You're going to defend
down,
this? Every,
I actually, no. Oh, God. What am I about to say on a permanent record? No, I'm not defending it. In blanket terms,
yes.
But I'm saying, as a person who is in two long distance relationships in a row, they can come in handy in that context. I'd want zero of them from strangers.
Okay, it literally comes in
handy. Yay!
No, but why? But so is it just to like? Oh, is it to remind you of what it? Oh, right,
kinda.
This.
Or be like, you want this, right? And
I think
it's
that's
like,
okay.
Yeah, and then in
a relationship, it's all right. It's different than just like. You know, just going like, hey, this is my dick,
exactly.
You know, to somebody. Right. Yes. If you're in a relationship and you have to sort of get around it, I've been
then
in long
it's like,
distance
remember
relationships.
This dick?
Great.
And it's
so,
sweet.
How does our delivery guy get into your building? Is it, which one do you?
Yeah.
I actually was having this conversation with a friend recently who just went through a breakup, and she was like, you know, she's, you know, dating a couple guys, and she's like, well, how do I come off? Give me the straight guy shit on how I come off towards men if I'm sending a little cheesecake, you know, and I like to use cheesecake as the term
it.
Because I'm from the 40s.
Yes.
cheesecake is a term for what?
Hearing.
That's like...
Pinup stuff.
Pinup stuff.
Oh, okay.
Cheesecake.
She's sending,
naughty pictures
she's
of cheesecake.
Sending these guys pictures of her painted on the side of bombers. That's
right.
What cheesecake is. That's what it is.
And then a we can do it.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, this is getting hot.
Yeah. Send this one to Mr. Hitler.
Exactly. These are my tits, see? Yeah. Yeah, totally like
that. This is Broken English. It's written by Tokyo Rose. I knew it. I got catfished by Tokyo Rose.
Spread those gams.
So,
yes.
oh my God. But so she's like, well, I was like going, well, don't, okay, just send your pretty face or just send everything but your face. Like,
yes.
I was trying to,
no,
like, advise.
Yes.
Not both.
Right. Because
exactly.
I'm like, because she was in a long-term relationship and I'm like, now that you're testing the waters, it's like, you can't just trust a guy with stuff. And she's like, yeah, I would hope that this guy wouldn't share. Now, getting back to what you're saying, it's like, if you're in a relationship, look, I was in a long-term relationship that was long distance and I'm still good friends with the gal and after we broke up, we were together 5 years, and she's like, you need to get rid of some of the pictures. Like,
right.
I'd be over here working over here, and she's back here home, and she's like, send something. I'm like, oh, that's lovely. And she's like, you have to get rid of it. I'm like, yeah, I actually do have to get rid of it.
So it's Will. I put all these on Instagram. Which one do you want me to get rid of? I put them all on Instagram, so which
– So you can pick.
You have to specify.
Yeah, because especially now, thankfully, I think they are – maybe it's in California, but there are they are developing laws to crack down on revenge porn.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Because didn't that guy go to jail? The guy who originated that actual revenge porn site? Like, literally, I think it was like revengeporn.com or whatever, but the guy who would, I think he's in jail.
I hope. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah, of course. But
I don't, I just always feel like, yeah, that stuff's always going to get out. You're like,
absolutely.
Going to get out. And then also, I can't do it. I cannot seriously take a picture of my dick and be like, how about now? Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't.
That's why it's only to people you trust.
I'd have to put like a Groucho glasses.
I had a gal who I was involved with romantically. Let's call it that. She sent me a pic of her ex-boyfriend's.
What?
Well, we're,
in what context?
Because we're like friends, and she was kind of like, he's such a douchebag. Like, he just sent me this. So get that this guy dated her, and then I dated her for a minute, and then that's over, and it's like a few years later, and we're just like pals and stuff. She's like, look what so-and-so sent me. And I was like, oh, what a... Yeah, what a goof. Look at the size of that thing.
No. Monster?
So, yeah, I was like, brought up.
Looks like a humble brag to me.
Yeah.
Oh, look what I fit in me. Like, right. All right. Isn't it weird that I put this big dick in me? You fucking humble brag.
It's kind of, that's crazy that she sent it to you. I did get a dick pic once as a wrong number. Truly as a wrong number, because really? I think the guy was trying to send it to a dude. Also, it was gross. It was like a gross dick. And I don't even think it was hard.
What do you think? Okay, so what makes a gross
dick?
It
just was like a weird...
Because you know what they say, like, if what is it currently? If you've seen three dicks, you've seen them all. Like...
No, it was like, okay, well, here's my thing. Again, I should not be
buck
saying...
Buck teeth, acne.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Backne.
Backne.
No, but like...
Dick Backne. Dick Backne, I'm running for city council. That's a perfect name.
Dick Backne.
No, weirdly, my number one complaint, again, I hate that I'm saying this on a permanent record that's going to be on the internet. No one listening ever send me dick pics. But number one complaint is when people have their bare feet in them.
Oh, what? Man.
When they're taking them from an angle where it's like, see their feet. Oh. That's the work. Cut that out. No feet in it. That's grosser than anything. But this guy, it was just like a guy's dick in his hand, and it was like... I don't know. It was like a weird color at the tip. It was just not great. And I'm like, what? And I think I texted back. I don't remember what I texted back, but I made it clear. Like, I was just like, no, thank you. Like, what? Who is this? And then he was like, bro. Like, it was a gay dude clearly, like, trying to send it to another dude. And I was like, this is a wrong number on many levels. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not
check the expiration date on that tip. I think that might have gone off. Well, my
it just was not a flattering angle. It was not great.
A friend of mine... someone was going to come pick up a couch at his house that he was getting rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, he got a text from the guy, accidental text of the guy's dick, like just like standing in front of a mirror.
Oh, no.
And then he just had to respond like, so are you still coming to get that couch?
Oh my God.
There was nowhere.
So is this what you're going to use the couch for? So what did the guy say in response?
Didn't respond. Didn't show up.
Didn't show up. Yeah. Did not want that couch.
Yeah, of course.
Enough. Or he doesn't understand that couch thing on Craigslist just means like, send me a picture of you full scale with your dick and
I'll say
yes or no.
Couch, wink, wink.
Yeah, couch, wink, wink.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the proper etiquette is for a dick pic sending. I just don't.
Well, need to, you're like engaged. I mean, like, you don't need to. If there's ever a time that you and Lydia are apart for a long time, maybe.
I still,
you guys
feel
don't
like,
have like Skype sex.
Let me just if you need more time to think about it, I will send you the dick pic that I got.
Oh, thank you.
So that you can send it to your fiance.
That'll just be default dick pic forever.
And then
you can see
if she picks up on it. No, because you pretend it's yours.
but she's gonna know it's not.
We can Photoshop it onto you.
But then when she sees me in person, you're like, I don't remember it. I don't remember it having Popeye muscles off the side. That's a big. You just gotta do the growth chart on the door jamb.
Oh my God, totally. Like, marking it. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, 2 inches since October. What?
Sure has come a long way. Have you sent pictures to people?
Sure, but never with my face in it.
Sure.
And when you say people, again, two boyfriends I've mentioned, just like send all.
Well,
BCC. But and also only in draws, only my underwear, like not fully nakes.
Here comes the ever. Georgia.
Yeah.
Draws.
Just in my draws, never fully nakes, no face. So it's like even if somebody, because one's army dude, so he could definitely be like, hey, everybody, but it doesn't, the only thing, it's neck down. So I could just be like, that's not me.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
You got to keep all that in consideration.
I think regardless of your gender, I think you have to understand that if you're a woman and a guy sending you a dick pic, or you're a guy and you're getting not fully nakes, I would imagine, or actually I think it would apply to fully nakes, that other people are seeing that or have that.
Sure.
And you
have no control of it. You know, that's why Snapchat, I think, was so appealing to people for so long, because it would just disappear. But then, of course, there were almost immediate workarounds.
Yeah, but the two guys, and both were long-term relationships, like long-term serious relationships. Like, it wasn't casual. It was in the context of that. So
Which, even still, you probably can't trust that. I mean, one guy I'm still friends with.
Right.
And he, I have so many pictures of his dick that it's like,
yeah,
I'll
it's
go.
It's like old hat.
Let's go for it, dude. If you want to leak mine, I'll leak yours. Yeah. Like, so it's that sort of thing where it's like you see each other in a place you shouldn't be. It's like, you know, each other's not going to tell on each other.
Right. Well, also, the volume of these things, you know, speaking of Dick Backney, in 20 years, you know, in 20 years, Dick Backney's kids will be able to see his schwants, you know, and I'm not even Jewish.
Little Dick.
Yeah.
But
it's like it's I think in the future we will find that there's such a volume of these things that it really kind of doesn't matter that everybody that is in the public eye, be it a politician or in entertainment or an athlete or whatever, will have some volume of this stuff out. I really believe that.
I think
you're
right. I'm not good at sexting because I always just feel like I always, you know, I mean, when I was dating, I think one time I said to someone, I phrased it in the most unsexy way, but I believe the wording was something like, if you don't mind, please send me the sexiest picture you're comfortable with.
If you don't mind.
So qualified.
Oh my goodness.
And like, please,
if you're not too busy.
Are you Canadian?
I think spiritually I might be Canadian. Yeah. Spiritually I might be Canadian.
Yeah. Did she do it or was she like, what?
She did not. I mean, it was just, she just sent a, I feel like it was just a picture of whatever she was doing at the time, at the grocery store or something.
Right. No, these times, I mean, it was when I was like away from these dudes like for weeks or months at a time. Like, it's not like a day goes by and you're
you can always tell when
junk.
If you're dating someone, you know, or, you know, I'm speaking personally, and then they just, you know, front load your phone with a bunch of pics, it's like, well, yeah. Everyone's getting
yes. Heavy rotation.
To bring it back to Instagram, now we don't even need to be. It doesn't even need to be full nakes. But if a young lady is sending me a picture, and then and it's not nakes or anything, it's not even all that not worthy of sharing. Meaning, it's a little bit risque.
Yeah.
Little slice of cheesecake there.
Sure.
And then later you see it on Instagram. Well, then that's like,
you're like, you sent this to everyone.
You sent this to, not only did I, would I already assume that some other guys are getting it.
Right.
You can equate it exactly
you don't feel
to
special.
How many.
Right. Well, you have to be very careful. Like, Instagram has pretty, fairly strict terms of service.
Oh, that's
rules.
Right. Like, no nips and stuff.
Yeah. I've only had one picture taken down ever, and it was a picture of a dog with a boner.
They took that down?
Yeah. There was a dog on the, on a sidewalk, and like, legitimately huge boner just flopped on the
was
sidewalk.
Was it like a Great Dane?
No, it was like, it was some sort of a pit bull mix.
Okay.
And the dog just had a look on his face like, please help me. Like, it was this very much like,
somebody do something
with this. Come on,
come on. Yeah.
And so I posted it and with the caption, I don't know, guys, a little too much lipstick or something.
Right.
So that when it went on Twitter, you know, the people clicked on it. And, you know, I think if enough people report it as being
offensive, that's what's up, yeah.
Right.
They'll take it down. They're like, it's a fucking dog!
It's a dog. That's crazy.
Well, dogs get boners!
Yeah.
I have a friend who keeps, her Instagram keeps getting shut down because she keeps taking pictures of triangle-shaped things in front of her vagina. So, like,
that's
just slices of pizza and stuff.
That's pretty great.
It's fun. I think it's great.
And you're not seeing the vagina.
Correct.
Yeah.
But sometimes it gets kind of close. And, you know, depending on, you know, how big a triangle we're talking.
Is she, does she spread the crust?
Hey.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Is it stuff? No, but I mean, like, do people report her? Is that why?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I hate those hall monitors so much.
Right.
Like, that's, like, enough people reported a dog boner.
Well, you know, because you could just not unfollow.
I know. I hate those Instagram narcs that are like, I don't like this dog boner, so therefore it should be kept from the world. I hate that so much. It's infuriating.
Yeah, I got in trouble A handful of people complained at me. We're almost a month since Star Wars opened,
right.
And we showed a thing on At Midnight last night that was a spoiler for Star Wars. We had bleeped them out in weeks previously when someone would spoil stuff, but we're almost a month
is cool.
Yes,
and,
I did too.
Yeah, and so a bunch of, you know, a handful of people got really mad, and then one guy said something like, you know, you're not even taking into account. You know what if people's work schedules and the tickets can't and I go, oh, well, I'm sorry that happened. He goes, no, I saw it. I just mean, what if other people are like, you're just inventing a person. to get mad for?
Right.
That's unbelievable.
A person who works around the clock for a month straight with no time off.
And some people said, you know, I can't, in my work schedule, you know, like I couldn't coordinate it with my friends or I was busy. And I was like, well, that's not the world's fault.
Exactly.
The movie's made over $1 billion.
Right.
We can't stop having conversations as a culture because you couldn't get your shit together. Now, granted, I know there are exceptions where people legitimately, something was against that, and I apologize for that, but I still feel like, you know, at what point can we not be having conversations because a couple people are like, we didn't, because you know that most of the people complaining just didn't.
But also, who, I mean, at this point, it's like, I was fully expecting to, you know, to see some spoilers, and I saw it the second day, and someone did post a spoiler on, because I went like an idiot. I posted like, yeah, I can't wait to see you, or whatever, like everybody does.
Right.
And then someone goes, dies, right?
And
I was like,
they responded to you saying, I'm about to see it with
and
that.
I'm talking about Salacious Crumb, everybody.
Finally.
Right.
That is a dick move for somebody to respond to you with that.
Yeah,
that
is a
huge
dick move. I never would have spoiled anything within the first couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, because I feel like.
But I also felt like, okay, now I know what's up. I still completely enjoyed the movie. And, I shouldn't be speaking to spoilers, but I guess I'm just saying, like, oh, who gives a
shit? There are
other
things to enjoy about a movie than that. There are
other,
if your only thing, and you know, or just prioritize better. Just prioritize better. I am, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what
to
say.
You have, like, 17 jobs and you saw it.
I did see it, but I still just, you know.
That should be your comeback, actually. Yes. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Like, I have 17 jobs. I'm Chris Hardwick.
Oh, that would go over so well.
Yeah. It's real relatable.
Why don't I just send him a dick pic on a pile of gold coins?
Like Scrooge McDick.
Like Scrooge McDick.
Thank you.
Yay.
And the award for greatest improvised dick pun goals tool.
Nice.
Today.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Martian
the
got it. Nope, the Martian.
Oh,
yeah. Because they're just giving the Martian awards that it didn't earn.
That is a comedy.
Right.
That is a great comedy.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
That was fantastic.
Why did that happen?
I was kind of loosely watching, and to bring it back to social media, I was kind of loosely watching, but as soon as Matt Damon won for best comedy or musical, and then the Martian won for best comedy or musical, I did take to Twitter and just enjoy all of the feedback.
I mean, I think the thing that sort of bums me out about it is that, I mean, this is, you know, whatever. This is there are way bigger problems in the world, but I think the thing as a comedian that kind of hurts my soul a little bit is that it shows that this sort of the governing bodies don't give a fuck about comedy and their disrespect. I mean, like, comedy is always gets disrespected when it comes to award times.
Right.
Right.
When I really believe, and I may be biased, but I think a lot of people would agree, a good comedy is harder to make than a good drama. A really good nonstop comedy.
Absolutely.
And so when they give a comedy award to The Martian just so that they can get Matt Damon at their show, it sort of feels like, oh, you know, comedy's whatever, not important. You know what was a great movie? Spy. Fucking fantastic comedy.
Totally.
Why didn't that, you know, like, much better comedy than The Martian.
Right,
which
and
was
Statham
not
was already
a
there.
Comedy.
I you know, I saw that happening and I was just like, I was immediately like just not interested. Like, okay, bullshit, that's bullshit.
How are they supposed to take the Golden Globes? How is anyone supposed to look at the Golden Globes and go, yeah, that's a respectable award show when they do shit like that?
Right. Mm.
It bummed me out. It just bummed me out.
No, I agree.
And I really And I maybe there should be a comedy category at the Oscars. I mean, like, there are good comedies that deserve to be recognized.
No, I remember being a kid and seeing Kevin Kline win Best Supporting Actor for A Fish Called Wanda and wanting to be an actor and just being like, wow, like someone from comedy, and always wanting to be a comedic actor and just being like, wow, someone from comedy can win that award, because it was only a year. I think that was 88, or would have been, that movie came out in 88. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles came out like a year before, and I kind of feel like if that movie came out now and John Candy were still with us, he'd be nominated, you know, for that performance.
I still think Eddie Murphy's performance in Bowfinger is so fucking phenomenal.
Really? I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Bowfinger?
Great. Yeah.
He plays two different characters, and it's just one of those things where you see what a really brilliant actor Eddie Murphy is, just in terms, because there's no self-awareness when he's playing a character. It's not, look how dumb this character is, or look how, like, he is that character, and he's so fucking good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know, whatever. I think it's just that, comedy is for clowns.
Yeah, well,
that's fine. And that's totally fine.
Olivier said that when a comedian approaches a dramatic work, he does so with a warmth that few dramatic actors are capable of.
Yeah.
Really?
I might be paraphrasing. Yes, but yeah. No, yeah, yeah.
When did you start? You were on Canadian TV first.
Yeah, right? I was on Canadian. I got started, you know, when I was a teen and stuff. And then, so I was fortunate enough to be up there. I started on a drama that was like, won a bunch of international awards and was on TV everywhere but here. And then, I did that for like 5 years and then, and some other stuff and American things and then moved down.
I have to know, because I've talked many times on this show about the Mad TV audition process.
Okay.
And how brutal it always was. I did it probably like 4 times.
Oh, I didn't know you auditioned for the show.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
And it's always just, so if anyone has never heard me talk about this before, I
please,
apologize.
Please, yeah. I want to hear
but
this.
It's just that really, it was always uncomfortable because you were always sitting outside the room. You could hear everyone doing their 3 characters or 4 characters or whatever it was. And you would hear a lot, and then you'd hear a lot of like, there's the Chicago character, there's the loud, and then go, oh fuck, I have a loud Chicago character. You know, it's like the whole process of it always felt so soul crushing to me.
Sure,
because you were basically auditioning for like 2 people,
right,
in a room, and what did you pick to audition with, and how was your process?
It was a combination of some of their stuff, and then I had to come in with characters. So I had a couple things I was doing and a couple characters, and I came in. One was this foreign guy who's talking about renting a bike, and he's kept the bike for a couple years and doesn't understand now that he has to owe a lot of money. It was really hilarious. And then and then a guy who calls into the Jenny Jones show because they had that 1-800 number at the end of like, if you are someone who or someone you know is involved, and it's a guy who's like completely, you know, he has done everything wrong and is I don't know. And then I don't really remember. I remember the foreign guy because we ended up doing a version of it on the show. And then I did not prepare any impersonations. I don't know why. It just wasn't on the audition
sheet. Isn't
that
something you do?
Well, yeah, but like kind of I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I didn't really have any – like I wasn't really doing them anywhere or any, you know, thing like that. And so
– did they make you do one on the fly?
Yeah, they were like, do you have any impersonations? And I was like,
yeah,
oh,
this is you.
Do you have any impersonations?
Amazing.
And one of those things that you'd think was funny in the moment, but then they would not laugh.
Oh, yeah, like,
is this you? Yeah, I mean, I always try dumb jokes, and they would never
that
fly.
That would be amazing.
Go,
I would hire somebody immediately.
So they go,
did that.
Do you have any questions? I do. Well, what font is this in the sides? It's those. You know, they never. So I stopped.
It's refreshing. So I did a couple impersonations.
Who'd you do?
I did. Well, I just like a year previous or something, I had worked with Chris Farley, and I was telling everybody, just friends of mine, like the story of like working with him and how he was like just, you know, and you know, rest in peace, just the sweetest man, and was an angel to absolutely everybody except for his assistant.
Ah, no!
Because he would know he was nice to him too, but he would be like, ah, what the fuck? Like, just like get pissed at him over small things. And like I ran into him later and he's like, and I had been telling everybody the story about this guy, and I was like, oh, hey, Jim. And he was so happy that someone had recognized me. He was like, you know, because usually people just kind of, you know, don't even talk to him. They talk to Chris. But I was completely fascinated with this guy, this huge dude, like 6'6" with like a giant head. His hat wouldn't fit over it. I was like always just painting the whole picture for friends. And I go, hey, man, how's it going? How you doing? He's like, oh, good. Dailies look really good. And Farley was like, ah, fucking Ted. I was going to say that.
Amazing.
You know, this whole thing. And so I did that and like just, you know, bullshit, like just like Jesse Ventura and some wrestlers and stuff. And then just like, I don't know. And then, and then you go to another one, you know, and then another one and another one, meaning auditions. And then, and then finally they were like, all right.
How many did you have to do?
Artie Lang's gone. You want to be the new fat guy? So it's like, yeah, sure.
How many auditions do you have to do for Mad TV?
Like 4 or 5 or something.
Oh, geez.
Something like that. And then, we tested, and then that was kind of it. It was really weird. It was very weird. I don't know. I think I got it. I think I got the role. I can't remember.
Was it fun?
Yeah, my God, it was fun. It was a ton of fun. It was a lot of fun. Actually, as we record this tonight, they're airing and that's not why I don't want to talk about it or anything. Actually, we won't talk about it. But they got the 20th anniversary of the show is the thing, you know, whatever. It's on TV anyway. Who gives
a shit? They're showing a 20th anniversary of Mad TV?
Yeah, tonight. So by the time this, you know, so blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
but the show's not still on
the internet. Correct. It can't be an anniversary when it was canceled 7 or 8 years ago.
That's so weird.
But also, 1995 is when the show started, and it's now 2016. So we fucked that up also.
Right.
Like, it's 21 years. And I remember we're shooting this thing and we all get together again. And I'm like, is no one going to talk about the fact that by the time this comes out, it's going to be 21 years? Because that's all I want to talk about. Like, that we fucked up that detail.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, Mad TV. It's so much fun to get together with all those people again. And most of us still keep in touch. So anyway, who cares? We all got together and we shot this thing, okay? So whatever. And then we just kind of look at each other at the end and just go like, fuck, like, next time let's just get dinner. You know? Like, we all enjoy each other's company. And I think that's what matters. But anyway.
What else do you remember about working with Farley?
Oh, my God. One thing I'll say constantly is he was exceedingly kind. Like, there was one day where we were just sitting there, you know, in between takes and stuff, and these kids walked by, and there was a security guard, and they clock Farley, and they run off. And about a half hour, they come back later with, like, dog-eared posters and VHS copies of Tommy Boy and Black Sheep. And this was Beverly Hills Ninja was the movie that we were doing. And they come back, and security's like, no, you can't come in here. And someone, you know, gets Chris's attention. And of course, he's like, bring him in. And it wasn't just that he signed their stuff. I mean, he wrote a novel on their poster. But he was like thanking them over and over. And really, like, it was just awesome to see because I revered him, you know, and to be able to work with him. And I was like 20 and I get to work with Chris Farley and he's like, ah, thanks guys. Thanks so much guys. Thanks. And like really personal with each of them, you know, and asking them questions. And it was just, and I had the privilege a year previous with the same director did this movie. It did Happy Gilmore. And I had a part in that. And it was the same thing with Sandler. Just like those guys were like so nice. And I just remember kind of being like, that's a really important aspect
for sure.
to this business.
Right.
Because those kids will never, ever forget that.
For sure.
I mean, ever. He wrote up and down on their poster and on their thing. And it was just awesome. Like, he really was a king. He was just the sweetest. He was just the best. He had a personal relationship with like everybody in the crew. And he was just constantly making everybody laugh. And it just felt like, it was just like, it was, anyway, there's really, you know, I don't know, it was unbelievable.
And then, of course, you were like, you guys aren't doing it right. So when you got famous, then you were like, get that fucking shit away from me.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign anything.
Leave me alone. Yeah.
Fuck off.
And nowhere, it also, you got to kind of get like, you know, maybe take a baby step towards what Mr. Farley would have done and then be a dick immediate. Not even like, have you ever seen Mad TV? I don't know what that is. Fuck you!
It's the 21st anniversary!
It's the 21st anniversary! Weren't you on King of Queens or what's your... I'm not Kevin James. No, not that guy. The other guy who had like two episodes. Anyway.
Hey guys, just want to say really thanks for fucking up my samosa. I'm eating.
Yeah. I just assumed that you were eating Indian food, and I don't know why.
I go angrily it's eat delicious. Indian food all by myself. Yeah.
I was in Happy Gilmore. For fuck's sake.
I'll have the tikka.
Yeah. Damn it.
You were in Three Stooges, though.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Man, that was
the Farrellys are fucking awesome.
Oh, they're insane. Yeah, they're absolutely insane. Yeah, that was a ridiculous process. And then, we just smacked the shit out of each other for 3 months in Atlanta. That was like being in a virtual reality or something. It's like... Because you're coming up with these Stooge things, you know. Of course, we have this wonderful script, and there's an unbelievable deal of amount rather of just, well, what do you want to do? And we're all just the three of us, myself and Chris Diamantopoulos and Sean Hayes, are like kind of bringing new things to the thing every day and coming up with all the slap routines and stuff, sort of on the day, and sort of doing it the way they would do it, and really slapping each other because that's what they did, and Diamantopoulos would like take me like during rehearsal or just bring me over to like Pete, like Video Village, Pete Farrelly. Like, I was thinking, Pete, we should, and like would just hit me. Like, Willie, come here. And my face was leather before the end of the shoot. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
There was a pic on Reddit the other day. I think it was the old school cool subreddit, but it showed a picture of them in character and them out of character. And it's so funny to see. You just don't think of them as being sort of like suave gentlemen.
Yeah. Of course.
But, you know, but to see with their hats and their ties and all. Like, no, they were just actors. Like, they weren't.
So they look like cool dudes outside of.
Yeah, they look like kind of cool dudes.
Oh, wow.
There's, there's a really fun. I think it's probably the Dick Cavett show, but Mo Howard is on the Dick Cavett show.
With a gray bowl
with gray,
cut.
Yeah, with a gray bowl
I think I've
cut.
Seen that, yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's because maybe not so much for millennials, but for my generation and probably the previous generation and for baby boomers, I mean, you know, in those days of syndicated television, like Three Stooges was always on somewhere.
Always on TV after school, yeah.
And I think they were horrendously fucked out of all of that money.
Absolutely. Mo kind of took care of the money, and at this point, flash forward, the Howard family doesn't get any of it.
No.
There's 75% to sort of the, well, anyway, there's a bunch of different things, like 25% to the Fine family, the Larry Fine family. Yeah, it's real weird. But with the movie, all the families were able to get on the take, which was good, and they were all, a lot of them were always on set.
Did they all fight amongst themselves?
Yeah, they're slapping each other.
Yeah, they were slapping each other, pie fights over
totally.
Over how much of the percentages. They just got here. My business affairs guy is here, and it was just a guy with five pies.
Are you ready to negotiate?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
They just have pie fights. Just attorneys and business affairs agents.
No,
why you?
No. UTA's got to take like 10% of their slice.
Of the pie.
Yeah.
And like, literally, you know, of the pie.
Like, yeah, and then it's like, and this is your slice of the pie. Then you're just waiting for the joke. And then they smash it in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
And he takes a little nibble of his part, smacks you in the face with your part. Ha, ha, ha. He puts his, wraps his up and puts it in the fridge.
What a weird time to have been famous, though, in the 30s.
Oh, my God.
It's strange. I mean,
yeah, all the stuff I read about Curly is that he was absolutely a man about town and blah, blah, blah. And he hated having his hair, you know, shaved, so he would grow his hair back, you know, when they weren't shooting. And yeah, he was all about it. I mean, he was hanging out at the Derby all the time. And yeah, I mean,
they were cool dudes.
It was really something.
I never knew that they were like cool dudes.
Mo was a real family man. And you know, to that degree, I think Larry was too. Curly was out there. Shemp was a little out there.
Anyway. He was a little out there.
Shemp got mad puss.
Yeah!
No one who's ever said that's a weird phrase.
Shemp's cleaning
up. A lot
up.
Of fucking, yeah, a lot of curly dick pics out there if you're looking in the right place.
But they have to pose for a while.
You have to pose for it with the flash pod.
Yeah, totally.
Going off.
Oh, I forgot to put my shoes on.
Shit. Yeah. We can't crop it yet.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that would be awesome. Just a black and white museum of like Errol Flynn and Cary Grant dick pics.
Oh, yeah.
They have to exist, right?
100%.
I wonder whatever happened with the Bob Evans. Didn't Bob Evans have a. I heard Bob Evans had a box under his bed that had compartments of pubic hair from every
woman. Oh, if anybody would,
woman,
it would be that
like
guy.
All these famous women
yes,
that he had
of
been.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
See, now he never would have been able to do that now with the recent trend of the bald kitty. No, that's really interesting. You're just going to have to take my word for it.
Yeah. So I used to have them come in and make an impression in Play-Doh.
Yeah, Play-Doh.
Totally.
Like clay.
Like Cynthia Plaster.
They're all against the wall of my powder room. Have a look. Is there a restroom here? Two doors to the left is a powder room. I think you'll enjoy it. What is that? It's an oddest backsplash you have there. What are those? Are those flowers?
Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Do you like Sissy Spacek? That's her right there.
It's like hurting the lap.
This is the perfect... That, you know, when you really do the dissection of that reference and context of that joke, it's like, first of all,
why, Sissy? Why?
Plausible. Like, you got the right time.
Yeah. Yes.
It's such a pull. Like, everything about it. Everything about it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, very well done.
Yeah, hers was jet black. She was a coal miner's daughter. Like, there's so many...
So many.
Well,
good.
Gene Simmons has the who's that woman? The song they did about her, Plaster Caster, about the woman who claims to
Cynthia
have
Plaster Caster.
Is that what's up?
Yeah, she's the one that has plaster casts of everyone's dicks.
Of everyone's dicks.
Like,
so that's
Jimi Hendrix.
Like, she's the original dick pic artist.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, who, she has like a Jim Morrison, like anybody of that time, like she has a plaster cast of their Dong.
Is that is there a book of that? Or
I'm sure there is.
There has to be.
She's like a famous. It's like Pamela DeBar. Like she's in that crew of famous groupies.
Do you want to see those guys' dicks?
I think now at this point, why not? Dead guys' dicks and old guys' dicks.
I guess
this is another.
I'm not
going to
be intimidated like that gal who sent me her ex-boyfriend's dick.
This is putting me in a very interesting situation because I want to see anyone's dick. Who's not curious to see what people's dicks look like?
Yep. Would you want to see Morrissey's dick?
This is the dumbest question I've ever been asked. Of course I do.
April's been to 150 Morrissey shows.
Yeah, oh my goodness!
Like the biggest Morrissey fan. Of course, yeah, they're her. But
we're looking at dicks right now.
Oh, this little guy here is—he's trying.
Whose little putt is that?
I mean,
that's the weirdest.
Come on, guys, don't forget me. Yeah. Like he's like the.
It's weird how
Buddy
many
Hackett.
Are not hard.
There's one dick in there that looks like. In an old comedy, when everyone runs by, like the tiny little guy comes in.
Yeah.
Lincoln Slater. Ah!
Oh, there's a European. That must have been maybe someone
also,
from
you guys, I mean,
Scorpions
not to be,
or something.
As a woman, if you see it, you can tell a lot by seeing it. Me and my friend Billy have talked about this before.
What
like,
can you tell?
You could tell everything about their entire demeanor and attitude. It's like they're guy friends of ours where we're like, we just want to see their dicks because then we could be like, that explains everything.
Now, are you talking about the
everything of why you act the way you act?
Are you talking about perhaps the way a man would groom? Is that play into it?
No, size, shape, everything. Like everything,
really?
You would just be like, I get now why you are the
oh,
way
wow.
you are.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's...
That tells everything. That's like...
So, gentlemen,
no,
here's
I think
a
you're
more
a savant.
Of a reason to be even
know,
more freaked
totally
out about being
does.
Seen nude.
Because there's one friend of ours that's like super... I'm not going to say it. He's like super angry and stuff all the time, but like we found out he had a huge dick, so we're like, that doesn't prove our point, because we're like, what are you angry about? What are you possibly angry about? Like you should
it's too
be,
big to fit in anybody.
You should just be psyched all the time.
Yeah,
but for the
yeah,
most part,
yeah,
I
sure.
think that like that you can tell a lot. Of, what am I? I'm
so
saying too much.
To show this oh my
yeah,
god!
Yeah, that's her website.
What
it's
is
all,
that?
Yeah.
Okay, this is CynthiaPlastercaster.com.
Yeah. Click on it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! So
when
we're looking at like a
when you click on the menu, it animates a load shooting out, and then when it splats, it gives you like all like that sub menu.
There's like there's like a bio written in a splooge stain.
And she's standing in a ball sack that has an
she's
a
proud
United States. Well, actually, all of North America.
Yeah.
Oh my.
In a ball
she's standing
sack.
Tall and proud.
This was designed when like the flash site's really popular in like 2003,
oh, for sure.
2004.
Yeah, where's the site
like
counter? Is there a site counter on there?
Oh, that's amazing.
That is.
She's a national hero.
That's truly amazing. So you would want to see Morrissey's dick?
I think I would, but in a way that you why am I talking about this? You do you know the emails I'm going to get after this comes out?
From Morrissey?
From anyone. I get gross emails even when I'm not talking about dicks.
Yeah, you're
going to get pictures.
I'm just saying it's a sociological thing. It's not like I'm like, yeah, I want to see his fucking dick and rub one out. I mean, like, it's an interesting insight into a person.
Is there anyone's penis you would want to see, Will?
I mean, sure.
Out
absolutely.
Of curiosity, don't you?
There's
just
all sorts of. Yeah.
I want to see anybody's junk who's willing to show it.
I
out of curiosity.
See, I want to see Milton Berle's dick to see if it's as big as everybody says it is.
Yeah.
Did he say it was big?
Oh
was
yeah. Apparently
was
he has
it.
Did he have a huge dong?
Yeah.
Milton Berle.
Yeah. Want to see his dick?
But you know what? It makes sense because that's why he had the confidence to dress like a lady all the time. For real, that makes perfect sense to me because
jokes.
He's like, I'm manly as fuck. I don't care about putting on a dress. This doesn't diminish anything. Like, I truly feel that way about people like Iggy Pop and stuff where he's like, you know, I can just dress like a woman at all times and not worry about anybody saying, because it's like, I know what I'm packing.
I think that relates directly to how big your dick is. Now I'm starting to pick up what you're laying down.
Yes!
Absolutely.
Seriously.
No, yeah. You're so secure in your manhood that you can just like...
You can just do whatever because you're like, I know what's downstairs.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Eddie Izzard has a huge dick.
He probably does,
massive.
Truly. He probably does.
Probably.
So Milton Berle.
Eddie Izzard.
Joe Biden. Alan Thicke, really?
I'm trying to think of who, based on that, I don't know, but that's just like my working theory.
Michael Gross from Family Ties. I know we were all thinking it.
Yeah. What? Oh my god!
Pulling
out
the strangest.
Well, you said Milton Berle was real. I'm trying to think of anybody else that I've heard
who
had
else
like
is
a giant dong.
Purported to have.
Huey Lewis.
You
want to
see?
Does have a huge dick.
I would love to see Huey Lewis'
that's
dick.
The news.
Cynthia Plastercaster. Cynthia. She actually said because I think she banged him and like groupies. There's a blog online that you can read like all those famous groupies wrote that are like here's the rankings of like who fucks the best.
Oh my god.
Oh for sure.
No.
And like Huey
like
Lewis
Yelp for groupies.
100%. And Huey Lewis apparently has like the biggest dick in rock. And it's in some movie. It's in some Robert Altman movie in the very beginning. Like, you can see it. He's got like a 10-inch wing.
No.
On top of creating sports, that's why you make an album like Sports. Because you're confident. I'm serious.
Yeah, that, and that's why you continue to do that kind of music where, like, you know, at that point, like, 85 and everything's getting a little harder, and he's like, fuck that. He's doing like, it all for
yes,
my baby.
Yes.
Like, he's like,
because he can.
He's
more saxophone.
Yes.
Yeah, the news
I'm
are all like,
on board with.
The news are all like having to do like doo wop shit, and they're like, this is lame. We're not going to get any pussy. He's like, I don't give a fuck.
He's like,
I have a giant dick.
Yes.
Shaboo wop doo. Da doo. You know?
Yes.
David Lee Roth did some of that, did a lot of that too.
Oh, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if he has a big dick.
Really?
I don't think he does.
I feel like he might.
I don't think he does.
Oh, yeah.
Although that goes against my own theory. Ah, yeah.
It's real small.
He's got the confidence, obviously.
Yeah. I think he's overcompensating.
Yeah, but I have a whole
nother. I live my life like I have a small penis. What do you mean we can't use that as a lyric?
Oh my god, first of all, you sound exactly like
that's really good.
What do you mean we can't?
I reached down.
That's what broke up Van Halen.
Yeah.
What broke up Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen would be like, no more songs about legs. Your tiny dick.
Well, there was plenty of room. She's burning. I'm burning. Let's just hug because my dick is real small now. Heavy petting. Not unbelting.
Oh
my cock's tiny. Let's just kiss and hug. My dick's small.
Dun, 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 dun.
My dick's small. Oh, 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 oh. My dick's small. Every dun, 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 dun. My dick's small. Oh, oh, dun, 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 dun. Wow.
Let's just kiss and hug.
Yeah. Let's just kiss and hug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a Van Halen set. Or just completely redo his songs to where they're all not about sex.
It's got the same bravado. Yeah. It's got the same bravado, but
right.
It's all.
It's just all about, yeah.
Yeah, he might be the, he might prove, he might be the opposite of what I'm trying to say. He might be the exception to the rule.
I got it bad, got it bad, got it bad. I'm having a conversation with a teacher.
Yeah.
No. Got it bad, so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I'll wait for another 6 dates. We don't have to have sex right away. No way. I'll show you my dick now. It's way too small.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Janie's smiling.
That is amazing. I mean, you could tour
okay,
that.
Okay, first of all,
fuck it with the thumb dick.
You two, I want you two to tour as the Van Halen cover band that only sings about tiny dicks.
Fuck it with the thumb dick, yeah.
I seriously want this to happen. I would come see you guys do that. Please do this.
Yeah, man, back in the day, you know, we'd take them backstage and Eddie would be there and Michael Anthony and Alex and we'd all go off to separate rooms and I'd meet a young lady and then I'd give her a gentle kiss on the cheek and talk to her about my horses and, you know, the brown M&M story because far be it from me to get in the way of a good rumor. Come in, sit down, make yourself at home. And then we'd hug and, you know,
we'd
neck
hug.
A little bit and go...
Hugging
you know, occasionally
necking.
I'd go towards the sweater meat, always under the shirt, over the bra. And we'd get malts.
The
and then we'd get malts, and Bob's your uncle. That's it.
It's the funniest idea to me ever. Him just hugging women. Yeah.
Just a guy who can't fuck groupies because he won't, because he doesn't want anyone to know. Because everyone in the 70s and 80s knows about each other's dicks. And
yes.
He's like,
they do.
Yeah.
They totally do.
Yeah,
I've read that
site. My wife Sheila would kill me.
You're not married, Dave.
Yeah, well, she'd kill me.
Yeah, if I had a wife named Sheila.
If I had a wife named Sheila.
Yeah.
If we're,
she'd probably kill me.
Honestly, if we're going to go here, because I totally think David Lee Roth's gay. And
I've
so
heard.
I think his confidence is gay guy confidence. It's like theatrical gay guy confidence.
Yeah.
That's where I think it comes from.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he's gay.
Not when I fuck him. I've heard both sides. I've heard that he's just I've actually heard both sides.
Which
people
I think is
get very impassioned about that.
It would be so rad if he came out and was like, "Yeah, I'm gay." Like the dude from Van Halen being like, "I'm gay." That's like Rob Halford style, where it's like, that's only awesome for like another metal,
but
not metal,
then
but
it would
like
be
rock
like,
dude.
"Oh, good for you!" And then everyone would go,
we know.
Yes, exactly.
Immediately.
Yes, 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 yes. That's how I feel about it, too, like, in the way that it's, like...
I think Judas Priest, like, to me, it's like, that was the ultimate, like, fuck you to, like, any, like...
Like, Hesher dudes who were, like,
homophobes.
Yes!
In the 80s.
Fully!
Like, he looks... He's so leather daddy.
Yes!
Now. Like, if we go to Gold's Gym on Cole, right near here, there are guys working out right now that look like Rob Halford.
Totally.
And I'm talking right down to, like, the leather straps and shit.
100% agree. That was the best when he came out.
Yeah.
And then all those like mouth-breathing Hesher dudes who are like total homophobes.
Wait,
I'd be like,
what?
Fuck. Yeah. Yes, I love it.
I gotta be more accepting of people?
Yes, yes.
First the lead singer of Queen, now this?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
At least I still got the Village People.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one of them dresses like a cop. What do you say? What do you mean?
Yeah, that's super manly.
I understand.
Yeah, totally.
At least I'll always have Wham.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, Boy George is a boy. He says it in his name. So Culture Club is... Oh, man.
Yeah. This sucks.
This is fucked.
Now who am I going to beat up? Yeah, totally. It's like that.
Are you telling me all those dicks I sucked all those years?
Yeah.
Those dudes were gay?
What?
Jesus.
What the fuck?
I still feel like we really want you to tour with Small Dick Van Halen.
Small
Dick Van Halen?
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yeah, that would be fun. What other hits do they have? What other hits do they have?
Well, there was Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I'm trying to think of a new name. I was like Van Halen, but that's like if you have a big dick.
Yeah, no.
Like what's a new name it could be?
Van Smallen? I don't know.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know. We'll I think it's just Small Dick Van Halen. You just go tour as Small Dick Van Halen.
Right.
Small Dick Van Halen. I would buy a ticket just going like, what the fuck is...
Have you seen Small Dick Van Halen? No. It's fucking unbelievable. It's really weird. Well, how does it work?
Well, it's just like, all it is Chris Hardwick and Will Sasso just kind of doing like, you know, sort of parody songs of Van Halen. Boring. Don't want to see it. No. You don't understand. All the songs are about David Lee Roth having a small dick.
What?
Who gives a fuck? Just go see it.
Why? Why would they do that?
Where did that even come
from?
Why
would they give up their everything?
It's so weird.
Why would they?
Yeah, it's just touring like nonstop.
Yeah.
They're in Japan right now.
Completely bankrupt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's
I was wondering why At Midnight's had nothing but repeats lately.
It's worth it for their art.
Yeah. I gotta go do it, man.
Yeah.
This is really important to me. Literally, you understand why I need to leave town for a couple months to go on my Small Dick Van Halen tour. Yeah. We used to have like a really, like a tiny tour.
I have to make this. Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Will.
I'm front row every night.
Whenever
I'll sell the merch.
Whenever you want.
Yes.
Do you go back to Canada very often?
I do. I do. I go back a lot. I just kind of go back and
do you
hang
perform
out.
Live? Do you do live?
Not really. Not too much. No, not all that much. But yeah, I go back to Canada though.
What part of Canada?
I don't know. I'm originally from just outside Vancouver.
Nice.
And then occasionally I'll do some weird live shit. But not all that often. I actually started doing this weird dumb thing. I don't know if it's kind of weird, but based on the podcast that I do, there's a character that I came. I have a podcast called 10-Minute Podcast. Go check that out.
Yeah, with Brian Callen is on it.
Yeah, Brian Callen, Chris D'Elia. They don't do it as much anymore. They barely do it. So it's me, and when they come in, they come in, and then my good buddy Tommy Blotch has been doing it.
Yeah, Tommy. I know Tommy Blotch.
Oh, do you know Tommy?
Yeah,
I love Tommy, and he's one of my best
Great
pals.
Guy.
So yeah, we've been doing it, and. But yeah, so I came up with this thing on the 10-Minute Podcast. It's just it mostly was like kind of doing like a bunch of dumb characters because it pisses Brian and Chris off when they're themselves and I'm playing a character. But I came up with this whatever. It's nothing that other people haven't done. But it's my own spin on a comedian character. And then after a while, I was like, oh, well, I'd like to do it at our next live show. And they're like, all right, so you do it. And I was like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Be right back. And come back and do like a set of comedy as this thing. And then more recently, I've been like, oh, I'll just do it. So I've been kind of doing it around a little bit, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
just, you know.
You're a performer.
Yeah, I'm a performer. Don't always have to, you
spread
know.
Your wings
right.
and get on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah. Versus the usual being in a trailer those two or three days at a time that I'm telling you about.
I think it's good. You know, the LA comedy scene it can be tricky. It can be a little tricky, the LA comedy scene.
Sure, absolutely. No, I, you know, it's funny. I do feel like, you know, I mean, I'm
I love what I do, and I'm fortunate enough to have been, you know, primarily acting, and then there are other things that, of course, you know, go along with that, which you understand. All the other things that you do so that you can continue to do what it is you love, no matter what that sort of top thing is that you really enjoy doing, that you find yourself, you know, writing and producing and doing other things. It's weird when I think about, oh, well, because there's been entire parts of my time in the business where I'm like, haven't really been focusing on doing a whole lot of comedy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it is weird. And the scene here in LA is ever changing so fast. And it's very odd. In a lot of ways, I do feel like a 21 year anniversary of a show I used to be on is perfect timing, because I'm just, I got that Robert Evans pussy mold wall. I'm 76 years old and happy to just be gigging still. No, but I would love a pussy mold wall.
I think it's possible
to have a pussy mold wall.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I know, there's guys at Home Depot right now that could whip you up a pussy mold wall. Just go back to their wife and make them sit in a bucket
that
of plaster.
Would be, is there a male Cynthia Plaster? I mean, because obviously that process is harder.
Yeah.
There's got to be a dude out there who's trying
to do
that.
There's a gynecologist on Robertson who's been doing it unbeknownst to the women.
Right, totally.
Sedating them and taking plaster casts.
There's definitely a guy out there with that. Someone's been doing it. It's probably more likely that it's a female artist, I would imagine.
But I mean, and think of that. You've got to sit in like a bucket of whatever. Like whatever that is.
Do you want to have the term vagina mold in your search history?
I mean, go.
Speaking of things that'll be public domain in 20 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Vaginamold.org. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Artist creates the Great Wall of Vagina.
Wow.
400. That's interesting. There's all these people that look like people that go to an art show.
Oh, my God.
Just like sticking her finger in.
No!
The...
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Excuse me, ma'am. You're not allowed to touch that.
Yeah,
she's fingering the vagina wall.
She's fingering the vagina wall.
That's hilarious.
It sounds like it should be a euphemism for something.
Yeah.
How's work going? Just fingering the vagina wall day in, day out. Oh, there he is. Yeah, that's the artist. The Great Wall of Vagina.
Okay, so this is a dude. And so he just got ladies to volunteer to do that?
Yeah. I guess so.
Wow.
Craigslist, huh?
You can find anything on there.
Anything you want.
Totally.
Will Sasso.
Pull shrink and nothing stays the same. My dick's small because I was in the bathtub. Whoa, the water's cold. Whoa, the water's cold. It's not my fault this time.
Yeah.
My favorite thing I've ever heard.
Well, I was inside just smoking and drinking a wind sign. I got a small cock.
I would fully buy an album of that.
Someone should make a soundboard.
I'm
that.
Small cock man. Jimmy, when I'm passing by. I'm a small cock. Small cock man. I'm guaranteed to unsatisfy.
Remember when he went solo?
I ain't got no pills. Nobody. Nobody. Humble bibble, zibble bibble, humble bibble, zibble pop. I ain't got nobody.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's good stuff. David Lee Roth.
East Coast girls won't fuck me because my dick is really small. I like a French bikini, but they don't take it off because my dick is really small.
They don't take it off.
The Midwest farmer's daughter doesn't like my little dick.
Oh my God.
And the northern girls with the way they kiss, they will not look at me naked. I dig that girl. Wow.
I would buy an entire...
I wonder what other people in the building are thinking.
I know, it's totally...
It's so great. I think David Lee Roth is singing
about...
He's totally here. Guys, I might have a scoop. I think David Lee Roth has a really small penis because
check
I just heard
TMZ.
Him singing about it.
We checked TMZ.
I just heard him singing about it.
He's singing about it.
I think this is trending now.
Yeah.
This is...
really trending.
Alert on TMZ. David Lee Roth confirms tiny dick.
Yeah. But it's just changing the lyrics just to say small dick. It's not even illiterate, fun, or interesting.
It's just, and the hugs. The part you put about hugging is fantastic.
So what do? They tour around.
They just
and
hug
they basically
ladies.
Talk about the songs are all about hugging and kissing and petting over the clothes and having a very small dick.
Yeah, it's really.
But that is that a thing that dudes would that we can stop talking?
No, go ask.
I was gonna say a real thing because I have a friend who dates a lot. She's amazing and is on every dating site specifically because she just wants to. She's like, I want to bang as many dudes as possible, and is very vocal about it. And so she does that. And a guy came over to her house. And my voice, this is the worst saying this in my sore throat voice. I'm like, yeah, smoking cigarettes. Like, let me tell you about dicks. Like, I feel like such a gross old hag right now. But a guy came into her house and he was like 6'4", lumberjack, like looked the part, and then pants drop. And she was like, it's the tiniest dick I've ever seen in my life. And then so she was like, huh? And then, but she was like, he went down on me for like an hour because he like knew he had
completely, to. Right, right.
So that's the kind of thing where it's like, the hug, that's what makes me laugh about that, because I told this story to Andy, who then was like, you know the inverse is true. He's like, there are ladies with wide vaginas. And I was like, no, there's not. And he's like, oh, no, that's a thing.
Naturally wide vaginas? Yes. Absolutely, yes.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot, because like obviously you see your dick, you can look at it and go, yeah, it's tiny, this sucks, I better like munch down there for hours.
Right.
But a woman will never know that. You'll never know that. And that's the thing is, Andy was like, he was saying how the girl he lost his virginity to had a. He was like, I didn't feel anything. He was like, it was like sticking my dick in air. It was like that big.
The
and
band?
I was like, but it was like crazy. Like when he told me that, it blew my mind, because I'm like, oh my God, that is a thing. And then, of course, I was like, what about my. He's like, no, yours is great. Okay, fine.
If you put your ear to her vagina, you can hear sexy boy.
Sexy boy. Oh, I'm so glad you picked up on the air reference.
Yes,
and
yes.
You referenced the song Sexy Boy.
Totally. She was French. But that blows my mind.
It's French fucking trippy music.
So weird.
Because girls don't. You'll never know that. So you don't know what you have to do to like make up for it. Whereas a guy knows, okay, I know I'm not packing much, so I'm going to do other moves.
Yeah.
No girl will ever know that.
No girl will ever know. You know, it's like, we don't need more reasons to be self-conscious.
Yes, exactly. And then, so of course, when he told me that, I was like, oh my God, I have the worst vag.
No, don't get self-conscious.
No, you don't. It's great. And I was like, thank you, ex-boyfriend Andy, for saying that.
Don't get self-conscious.
Cut to girls blowing up balloons in each other to see how.
Okay, stop.
Pull it out.
You won't know ever. You'll never know.
But it just all depends on people fitting together in certain ways.
Of course.
No, I don't think there's a standard. It just all.
Right?
I think that a man, speaking as a dude who's like, you know, tall and large and stuff, so long as it's scaled to the rest of your body.
I agree.
There you go.
I agree. Like, no girl is really like, oh my God, I hope he has a 12-foot dick. Like, no, you don't want that, really.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest body shaming episode ever of Nerdist.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, here's the exact dimensions your dick should be, or you're gross. Like, I feel like that's all I'm saying. I'm a terrible human being.
We can edit it out.
No, you're right. You're totally right. It's like, as long as it's proportional, like, who cares? But as a woman, you'll never know. It doesn't matter.
That's why little dudes with giant dicks are so impressive.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because it looks weird.
And it's a nice surprise.
It's like a guy with a you know, huge face or something.
I think the first porno I ever saw was called Sex Roulette. And it was
Why
one of those.
Is that such an amazing title?
I don't know. And because it was one of those 70s kind of porns where they're like, they tried to make it like a movie. So, you know, it was shot on film. And there was an African American little person.
Sure.
And he wore a derby for some reason.
No.
He had a derby on and like tripod, like enormous penis. And so the thing was, this is just what I remember from the porn. He would set a lady down on a table and then stand on a stack of phone books and have sex with her. Could you look up Sex Roulette to see if I made that up in my head or if that's a real thing?
And I would love for those phone books to collapse out from underneath
them. Oh, my God.
And then it's a wacky comedy.
Yeah. Could you at least afford a fucking Apple
box? When I first started like accidentally seeing porn, you know, whatever, when I'm like 10, 11, 12.
Accidentally.
Well, in the way that like you're flipping channels and like You know, what cable do you have?
Yeah, that's
awesome. we had whatever the wavy, like the spice network, wavy porn, and shit.
Yeah, wavy porn.
And there were times I'd accidentally see a giant dick, and it scared the shit out of me. I was like, there's no way that's ever, I'm never touching one of those.
I just remember back, when I was a kid, you know, we had, I grew up in a small town that, outside of Vancouver, that was kind of an idyllic sort of upbringing. So, you know, you'd go and you'd build forts with your friends. And, and there was always a stack of nudie mags, like no fort
in the woods,
in a tree.
Always in the woods.
There was no fort was complete without a, like a few nudie mags.
Of course.
Which would mean that they were tattered and the water was getting to them and they were all dirty. So it made it even more romantic in that sort of, oh, I'm not supposed to be looking at kind of thing, because the pages are stuck together, not in the way that someone might joke about, but rather because of the condensation.
Right, because of the elements.
Just the elements.
Yeah.
You literally wound it up and put it into a tree knot.
Totally.
Or under a bucket.
I found it on IMDb, Sex Roulette, 1978.
Holy shit.
A lord's fortune is threatened if he can't stop his young niece from gambling it all away. Is that really the plot?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, how did you see this then? Was it also like a Spice Channel thing?
No, it was like a, you know, like a friend's
dad had like a VHS tape of it.
Yeah, it
sure.
was a VHS.
Okay.
There's
thing, and there was a there
watch
was a,
it with your friends and get awkward boners. And yes. Be like, I'm going to pee. I promise.
Yes,
I'm just
exactly.
going to pee
yeah.
for a few minutes.
There was a porn. There was a porno that when I was a teenager, that a buddy of mine like made copies for everybody. Like here, like VHS copies. You can have this porn, and it made us laugh so hard because there was an there was an orgy scene in it, and this one guy is really gung ho, and he literally says. To which me and my buddies that I grew up with still say this to each other sometimes. He just is trying to get everybody in, and he's like, hey, but he's acting, but it's not working. He's like, are we going to fuck or what? to like all these people.
Yes.
But they're all acting, so they're like, yeah, I want to fuck. And he's like, this is a fucking orgy, right? Are we going to fuck or what?
The angry dude at the
orgy.
And
it always made us go like the director just gave him, like it's improvised, you know, there's not a lot of script. You guys just kind of, you're really excited about fucking.
Right.
Okay, and go.
Right.
Long pause. We gonna fuck or what? So speaking of texts you don't want to get by accident, my buddies, or that you don't want your girlfriend or wife to see, will still text like, are we gonna fuck or what? Like, dudes I haven't talked to in 2 months.
I swear to God, I don't know this.
No, it's a good side. Joke's a joke. See, is that funny?
Comes up on your phone under a dude's name.
Yeah, we gotta find my childhood room in the back of my parents' house, and I'll show you the VHS tape, but it says we're gonna fuck. No, wait, it's just a little bit further. Let me fast forward to it.
I promise. Oh, my buddy and I just call each other Jennifer. It's a joke.
We just think it's funny.
You know, it's meta. It's really meta.
Yeah, it's super meta. You wouldn't understand.
You're mad at how funny you think this is, right?
Will Sasso, it has been delightful to have you on.
Thanks for having me, man. This
Apes, thanks
fun.
For sitting in.
Yeah, sorry. I talked about dicks the whole time.
I don't care.
April Richardson now on tour with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We only have like...
AP on Twitter, and you're Will Sasso.
Will Sasso on Twitter. And
I'm getting sad that we only have like 3 more weeks to go.
I'm sad that we're going to have to preempt Will's podcast for someone who has more Instagram followers.
Oh, shit.
Damn it. All right. You can come back whenever you want. I hope you start doing stuff around town.
Yeah, I would love to do more shit, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I might do some weird live 10-minute podcast things that... Without the guys or maybe with them and whatever, but I've sort of come up with a new way to do that.
Also, hardcore wrestling fans probably know you from all of your wrestling escapades.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I kind of dig wrestling way too much, and that's weird. Tommy Blacha, the aforementioned Tommy Blacha, loves wrestling also and has worked with the WWE before, and we do a weird thing on the podcast that's sort of a wrestling thing, but just making fun of the wrestling nerds that we love so much. And yeah, fucking wrestling, and what else is going on? Oh, I'm on Shameless this year. I guess I should say that.
Oh, that's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
Burying the lead.
Sorry.
It's a pretty big show.
Yeah,
I love it. I love
what are you working
show?
On? Nothing.
No. I'm not working on it right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very early into the new year right now as we're sitting here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I play an unsavory fellow on Shameless.
Fantastic.
That's fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any of all the wrestling stuff that happened, totally real, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely all real. All
Jimmy
that
Hart
shit.
Attacking you, totally real.
When Bret Hart, yeah.
I mean, Bret Hart attacking you, hit with a chair, totally real.
Dude, yeah. For real, though, that guy would like, Bret Hart is awesome, and we've remained friends to this day, which is very cool. And we sort of did, for people that are listening, we did this, We did this thing was sort of an homage to the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler thing. We tried to keep a feud going. It lasted for around a year. But, of course, it culminated. It started on Mad TV with him attacking me with a chair. Only a handful of people knew this was going to happen. He beat the shit out of me with a chair. He bloodied my nose later, and it was all fun and good. And then a year later, it culminates with an actual wrestling match on their Monday night show. So I'm wrestling. And then, you know, the cat's out of the bag at that point. But still to this day, like, you know, dudes in, like, wrestling T-shirts and sweatpants go like, okay, the when he attacked you, that was real, right? Because then later you turned it into a thing. But
you know what's really funny on Twitter that plays at midnight hashtag games every night is Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Yeah. He's very interesting. He's really funny. And he's been doing some live... We have a mutual friend who's a comedy guy up in Toronto, Nug Nargang, who's a huge wrestling nerd. And he's like, yeah, I got Dolph to like come do some stand up and stuff.
Yeah, I think I heard that he was doing stand up. Yeah.
He's funny. Chris Jericho's really funny.
Jericho's very funny.
And Punk is really funny too. CM Punk's not wrestling anymore. Right. But he's funny.
It's really interesting when it's like, you know, I'll do something. Actually, I said to Tommy, because I did this weird little thing. You know, and back on Mad TV, I was always like, we got to have more wrestlers. Will, fucking calm down. No, wrestlers. Let's have wrestlers. It's a comedy show. Stop. So I've been fortunate enough to do stuff with all those guys. I remember we had Stone Cold Steve Austin on the show once. And then more recently, I did something with him. And then I go, hey, would you do this thing with me? And he did it in like one take. And I remember talking to Tommy going, yeah, I was just doing this thing with Steve Austin. And then I asked him to do this thing for me. He said, yeah, I did it. And he just like got it right away. And just did it like it was. He's such a good actor. Like he just got. He was like, "Yep, let's do it. Go fucking roll."
And then,
Tommy just goes, "Yeah, he's done way more television than you."
Yeah,
like, you forget that these guys
are actors, kind of.
They're character actors.
Yeah, they're
character actors doing live television,
right?
Week after week after week. Monday Night Raw is now 3 hours long,
right? Jeez.
And you go back and look at some of the stuff that Stone Cold Steve Austin did, like. I remember watching The Rock going, oh, he's doing movies now? That makes perfect sense.
Totally.
Yeah, you don't have to sell me. Like, he's hilarious.
Yeah, like super charming.
He was actually really fucking funny. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. As
these wrestlers are taking jobs
taking
away
our jobs.
From hardworking comedians.
That's right.
They take their jobs. Will Sasso, thank you so much for being here.
Cheers, man.
And enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Enjoy a tiny burrito. It's like one of those frozen taquitos from Costco. You get a box of 60 for a dollar. And they give them away with a sample.
Got a small penis.
Like
it's just, he's just talking about shopping and then ends it, of course, with that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. I want an album of that, you guys.
So dumb.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.